The Holy Gospel comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. We begin with verse 25. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it, will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of our Lord. Does anybody have any questions about today's gospel lesson? Wasn't that just a cool, fun, exciting, positive, uplifting words from Jesus? It was not for me, anyways. Whenever I see this lesson come along, I have to take a deep breath. And what am I going to do with it? There are at least two things in this lesson that I do not like. One is Jesus saying, if you do not hate your parents, your children, your siblings, you cannot be my disciple. My hunch is most of us here love and like our family very much, right? So to have Jesus says, unless you hate them, you can't be a disciple. The other thing I don't like in this lesson is the counting the cost part. You count if you've got enough money to build a tower, if you've got enough troops in your army to win the war, because it almost sounds like it gives a person an excuse to not commit to doing something. Now, to be honest, I actually like the counting part. I like numbers. I like organization. I like preparation. So that all makes sense to me. And more than once in my life, there has been a time when I said, ooh, I don't think I can do this, so I will not try to do it. Our daughter Hannah just finished her first week of school at Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. I'm still not sure if she had any formal classes this past week. She had orientation and she met her classmates. It is the largest class ever at Wartburg Seminary, which is like, wow, how does that happen? 88 students in her class preparing to be leaders in the church. Orientation, figuring out who is who, where the classes are going to be. She is taking Greek, and I sure hope she has a much better experience taking Greek than I did. She made a comment about some of her classmates asking this professor, you know, if we take your class pass fail, how much of a level do we have to achieve in order to pass? Now, I remember those days, man, how much do I have to put in to get a passing grade? It's that commitment piece. It sounds a bit like counting the cost, wanting to be prepared, but also wanting to know how much or how little it will take to pass. Hannah's thought was, just do it. Do it well and get it done. Priorities and commitment. Now, let me go back to the gospel lesson. I do not think that Jesus was calling for us to hate the members of our family. Back then in Jesus' day, they often used hyperbole language, that is, exaggerations in figures of speech to make a point. Hyperbole is language intended to get our attention to say, what? And were you thinking that when I read that in the gospel lesson, unless you hate? What is Jesus talking about? He got our attention. Jesus' point is that we are to put God and godly things number one in our lives, priorities, to put God and godly things above everything else. We are to love our families. We are to care for our families. But our first obligation, our first commitment is to God. Being a Christian, being a disciple is serious business, putting Jesus and God above everything else. Whoever does not bear his or her own cross and come after Jesus cannot be one of his disciples. Back then, a cross was not a piece of jewelry worn around the neck. A cross was an instrument of death. A person who carried a cross was on their way to their death. Jesus was warning us, or is warning us, we need to make sure of our commitment. We need to count the cost of discipleship. Make sure you are ready before you pick up your cross and be a disciple. Author of the book, Stories for the Soul, Jim Dennison tells of going on a mission trip to Malaysia for one summer. And while he was in Malaysia, he worshiped at a small church. One Sunday, he noticed along the wall a small old suitcase. And so he asked the pastor, what's the deal with this suitcase? And the pastor pointed at a teenage girl who had been baptized that morning. The pastor said, her father said, that if she was baptized a Christian, she better not go home ever again. So she brought her luggage to worship that day when she was baptized. What a price to pay to be a disciple. She gave up family to become a Christian. We don't know the rest of the story. Was she truly abandoned by her family? I assume so. Did the congregation and its members receive her and provide food, clothing, and shelter for her? And perhaps the family itself was being tested and had to count its cost to be a follower of Jesus. They too were called to carry their cross. Discipleship and sacrifice go hand in hand. In some parts of the Christian church, there is an emphasis upon prosperity and wealth. That is, if you believe in God, if you follow Jesus, God will bless you abundantly with more than what you want. He will give you money and wealth and material things. Be a Christian and you will be rich. The Bible I read does not have that kind of a promise in it. God does not promise you or me wealth and material things. God does promise to walk with each and every one of us during our good times and especially during our tough times. Discipleship and sacrifice are often inseparable. I gotta look at my music people here. What musical does the line or the song come, you can't have one without the other? It's a state in the middle of our country? Oklahoma? Uh-oh, I'm getting the look like. Yeah. Okay, well, okay, that's too long. In the musical Oklahoma, there's a song with this line, "You can't have one without the other. Discipleship and sacrifice. You cannot be Jesus' disciple without making some sacrifice." I want to close with three questions for us to ponder and consider. They are about the cost of discipleship and following Jesus. I don't want to hear your answers today or tomorrow or what. I want you to take these three questions home with you. Think about them. Ponder them. Question number one. What have you given Jesus lately, this week, this month, this year? What have you given Jesus? Question two. What could you give to Jesus that you are not currently giving? Is Jesus calling you to spend more time deepening your faith? Is he asking you to help the poor and hungry and homeless? Is he calling you to share in some way in this church or in this community? What could you be giving to Jesus that you are not currently giving? Question three. If you were to put Jesus first, how would that change your life? Would you start doing things differently? What would you quit doing? How would putting Jesus first change your life? Now, if some of the answers, your answers to these questions suggest that you should move in a new direction, trust God. God will be there as you make those first steps. Be a follower of Jesus and a disciple. Go on this discipleship journey. It may not be easy, but God will be there, and your journey will be blessed.